Hello, my name is Robert Martiniano of the Center for Health Workforce Studies at the University at Albany. This is the second part of a discussion with Thomas Rauner and Linda Beers on community engagement in the context of community needs assessment. In this session, we will go into detail about engagement resources and community meeting coordination.
So I want to kind of change the conversation a little back to something that was said probably 15, 20 minutes ago about the resources that are provided. And Linda, I want to start with you. What resources do you think are need to be provided as these as you engage your community providers?
Well, I love to get everybody level set. So I think, and I know I'm sure that we have always achieved that, but you know, people that have been doing this a while come with their own predisposed biases, or they have an idea how these things are to be run, and I'm always saying, let's evolve. So, you know, just yesterday, I went to an entire training on collective impact model. Okay, that's great. But when people are conveners or you organize a group, you actually have a structure usually in your head. The leaders that run these coalitions or oversee them have an idea. I think it's important to let everybody know what that idea is. What are your intentions? Are you going to have co-chairs? Are you going to have bylaws? Are you going to do that stuff? So I think training the group of stakeholders or at least some level setting is always really important. And that not is necessarily always done by the person that is in the leader position, but potentially somebody that comes in and level sets, somebody who comes in and does a quick training. I think when I was first new, it was a long time ago, feels like forever, wasn't that long ago, but someone came in. I was new. I had no idea what everybody was talking about. Nobody seemed to care. I didn't know. And I was just floating along. And then probably the third meeting, they said, let's talk about what community health assessment is. Let's start at the bottom and work our way up. And let's talk about the structure in which we're going to go. It took half the day or half of that meeting. And if it wasn't for me, okay, I mean, I got everything out of that. I wonder how many times we forget to do that. I think it's very valuable to have training for the people involved to lift them up to do the tasks that they don't think they can do, stakeholders that aren't traditionally asked to do these things. I think it's really valuable. So I would say training. Data is huge, right? So everybody has access to Department of Health data, but in bulk aggregated stuff. Robert, we've used you, and how important is that? There's experts in the field of lots of things, but how do we get that expertise? How do we pool or get funding to even do that, right? We have to hire somebody. Who's got money to do that? And can at the state level, do they support those things? So those are my reasons that we could be supported, maybe.
Tom?
Sure. I think, you know, as far as those resources that need to be provided, I think one of the things that was just brought up here is having somebody else coming in and facilitating or working with sites. That, I think, is very helpful. But also, I think, more than anything, if you're going to go ahead and bring someone in, they need to be, you have to have somebody locally who is respected, who is the leader, who can basically vouch for that person to get them and introduce them and kind of get them started off on the right foot and saying, this person has these XYZ qualifications. So kind of hopefully helping to get people to understand that, you know, you should really listen to this person. And that helps when you bring outside resources in to the fold probably as much as anything is getting people to kind of keep an open mind and hearing what's there from someone else is, to me, is one of the biggest things that I see happening there. And as far as the discussions there, the resources, yes, the data and stuff, you know, can pretty well speak for itself. And we all know that you're probably going to deal with a lot of anecdotal components and issues that come up. As been mentioned before, you know, you may have something that this is a spike, this is a concern, but if you can then kind of step back and say, how frequently does this occur, has it occurred, Is it a trend? Is it just a one-off type of thing? And can we deal with this and move on? But in most cases, if people aren't willing or if they recognize and see something there in front of them, they want that issue addressed. You have to go ahead and be able to address whatever that concern topic is at that point in time, if it's possible. If not, you're going to have to go ahead and have some leadership there of where people are being upfront with them, letting them know, again, we don't have time to discuss that or we can't do that at this point in time, but we will. I think some of the things that you were mentioning there earlier as far as going ahead and saying we need it just to be upfront, honest, and well-structured and good use of our time out there is really a key component. People really respect that. If you're able to go ahead and keep things, you know, on track and kind of keep the flow moving.
Thank you. How important is someone coordinating the logistics of these meetings, such as, you know, food, meeting space, getting copying done? How does that play into engaging the community? Tom?
Sure. I think having, again, comfortable situations as far as meeting circumstances out there, again, if it's perceived something as a neutral site generally is the optimal thing that you want to have out there. And if somebody can provide that locally, that's great. Maybe it is a general community resource site that folks go to. But again, you're bringing folks in, the more chance that you have them as far as being comfortable, the greater ability you have for the communication and the flow of the communication to work across those settings. I think it's very important that whoever is, again, kind of running, leading the meeting has hopefully thought about it fairly well as far as, you know, how can we keep the flow of the meeting going, the communication, as well as going ahead and documenting what's going on with that and being able to report that back out.
Thank you. Linda?
Yeah, I think I concur with all of those things. I would also add that it shows respect to the individual and to their time. I tell you, I'm somewhat aggravating when anybody goes to a meeting and it doesn't start on time and the person doesn't do it and the computer's not set up. It says that we're not prepared or we didn't value your time. I think it's really crucial that meetings are, as he said, a neutral place. For us, I think it's really crucial that these meetings are not convenient to the stakeholders, the one or the leaders that are holding it, and that they exist within the community. Way too many times people have these meetings at their office, and their office is the hardest gosh darn place to get to. And I know it's the easiest lift for them, but it's the hardest lift for the most despaired people to get to. So I think it's important to be at some local school. It's also important to convene these meetings not at 9:30 during the day and to have an opportunity for people to convene outside of business hours if you really want their input and you're looking for a specific group. So, I think being organized, the meeting scheduled, in our world, we never have food per se, unless there's a grant written for such things. But we really, as we've gotten engaged over the years, we've had people honestly bake things and take turns. I can't tell you what a warm feeling that is about community when that happens.
So as an aside, one of the questions was, what problems have you encountered? But I think you've really talked about that all through this. Mm-hmm. So I want to end with the question about advice. We'll start with Tom. If you were to give advice to people, what would be the top five issues that you would need to address and why?
Sure. I think some of the key things in there as far as coming back with this whole community assessment process of what you've been dealing with or developed in your community, it has to be something that people have an agreement that this is a problem or a challenge and that they're willing to go ahead and focus and work around that. So if it's locally seen as an issue, then you from the outside, if you're in there trying to help facilitate these things, you need to take that as a very serious thing and that they need to help them with whatever topic or issue that is. Because no matter what it is they're working on, if you're able to go ahead and especially be successful with it, they're much more likely to want to go ahead and have you back. Also, you're not necessarily seen as being quite as judgmental, but I think you can learn an awful lot about a community and how well they work together by, you know, addressing how it is that they look at a concern, a problem, and then how they go about addressing it. And that's really important to, observe from that. The other thing is, I think, in looking at, how are they able to go ahead and are they able to maintain some momentum? And is somebody viewed as being an expert or knowledgeable about the area? And which groups in the community have been able to do that? And again, if they've been successful, use them as models and continue to move forward with that. One of the other things probably is that I guess in some of the pieces that I've looked at is when you're there in the community, probably the biggest thing that I tend to see from my side is I'm looking at a lot of the state issues across time, having been here over 30 years now of working in some of these concerns, and you see that there are certain times where the stars seem to align over an issue, and once that's there, you need to be ready and willing to jump in and help at that, because it really comes down to the thing of timing is everything on most of these issues. So the biggest thing is probably to not get frustrated when you're working with the community needs assessment types of projects and issues. Things are not necessarily going to happen on your timeline, but on that community's timeline horizon. So, again, work with them, get to know them in the community. If you're on a community committee or whatever else, it doesn't matter which ones that you're on as well serving. When the time is right, be ready to step up, take that leadership role and point it out and say, you know, it looks like we really have consensus on this. Let's move forward. Let's get this done. And it's really a joy when you see some of those things happen. And I know we've all worked on projects. I know some of the cases where I've worked with communities, for instance, on community health center expansion within our state. And generally, it's been somewhere along a 5 to 7 year timeline horizon. And that's a long time to kind of be patient, but there are a lot of times where it is, let's be patient and then be ready to go ahead and work closely with them to get that accomplished when the timing's right. I'll stop there.
Thank you. Linda?
Well, I'm just going to reiterate that I didn't have it on here, Tom, but I'm going to absolutely say I would move it maybe to my top one. Be poised. Have the infrastructure ready to go when the stars align. I mean, we recently got Tobacco 21 to pass in an extremely rural area that people didn't think it would happen, but everything just aligned. And we did a survey of our stakeholders. We found that they were willing, and we thought, well, we have momentum. I'm going to say my other counties around me did the same, and they did not. So, you know, that the opportunity to change wasn't the same for them. But we had everybody in place. We went forward, and we were successful. So I think it really is really important to have infrastructure so when something comes and everything aligns and these regs change or this happens, that you are ready to make change and do it as quickly as possible. So my top was make sure that all voices are heard. Give shy people, quiet people a platform in which to express themselves. Follow up with calls, text, emails. Use forms of communication that might interest them. These are my top five things when I'm doing community needs assessment. Circle back. Number two, if there's an issue left on the table or not resolved, it instills trust with members and they feel valued if we circle back and we don't. can't tell you how many times, or maybe I've said, well, what about this? And people are like, oh, we'll talk about that. And it doesn't come back up. And I always feel like, oh, I wasn't valued at that. Or that's still a concern for me and it's not addressed. So I think circling back. Number three, keep on track. Community health assessment has a deadline, set up a timeline, make yourself successful in achieving your goals. Four, be a realistic, set goals that are achievable. I go to some of the meetings and I'm like, that's fantastic. We have 3 years to do that. And we are not, you know, the data doesn't represent that we, over the trends, even that we're making forward gains, doesn't represent that we can make this huge of a swing, right? Be reasonable, make the goals achievable. So at the end, people feel that they achieve something. But if you make them so unattainable, we're never going to achieve them. And number five, enjoy the process. Community health assessment outcome is important, but it's just as important as the stakeholder engagement, the collaboration, and the building of relationships. Probably every year prior to the year that it's due, when we start doing this process, I get engaged with all kinds of new folks, all kinds of people. My staff do. I meet many, many partners, and it's a fabulous time for us to get the community health assessment off the ground and done. And I'll just add number six, maybe. Do a better job of informing the public of what the outcome of the last one was. I think that we're coming near the end, and we're really looking this year as to how do we let the public know? Is it a public health announcement? Is it a hospital announcement? Should I run a banner, you know, a billboard somewhere? Because we've done some really great things, and stakeholders get lifted up when you rejoice those celebrations. And I'm not exactly sure what it looks like because I know for a fact the school called me last week and they're like, hey, I heard you had this assessment with all this data. And gosh, you know, that's disheartening. So how did you miss the message when we told you about it? So I think taking successes and making public aware that all these stakeholders are working together and that we have their best interest and taking credit for, not taking credit, that's probably not the word, but whatever, celebrating successes. How about that?
That works. You know, and the one thing that you said that you reiterated was just showing value both in terms of their time and their input. I think that is so important, and I was glad that you emphasized that. Before we end, did either of you have anything else to add that we haven't covered? I know we spent well over an hour.
This is Tom. I guess the only thing I was kind of thinking of before, you know, again, working with some of the community needs assessment that we have to as far as a primary care office and agency out here to address things, there are quite a few potential partners that you can go ahead and address and deal with. For instance, in our primary care office grant applications and activities that we deal with is really trying to address healthcare access shortage issues and trying to get healthcare providers into those shortage areas. And one of the biggest pieces, again, prioritizing and working with communities, even when I'm sitting here within our agency, I get a very good perspective, I think, by being able to go ahead and serve on some of our groups or organizations that are dealing with the public health issues across the state, prioritizing those, as well as our maternal and child health organizations, working with the primary care associations and different associations, organizations out there trying to deal with it. And then, like I said, going back there and working with all the different folks at the local level, whether that's the local health departments, the hospitals, the healthcare providers, different organizations that are structured around there, locally dealing with all the citizens and trying to take their perspectives across the state. That, to me, is really kind of going ahead at times and saying, okay, you know, it's not on my shoulders. It's on all of our shoulders to do this. And so working together and a lot of times recognizing there are quite a large number of groups and organizations out there that you can go ahead and use as resources. Again, I think that probably comes back to some of the things where I'm seeing where I say, you know, the stars kind of align too, is because when you're dealing with different organizations and they're all kind of have a cross piece on their platform that says, yeah, we see that as an issue and we're going to address it. And when those tend to line up, then things tend to happen across a broader spectrum. I think that's where you can kind of notice that, like, oh, there is some interrelated activities going on across our state.
Thank you. Linda, any final thoughts?
Well, I think the community needs assessment is a fabulous tool. I think lots of work goes into it at the community level, at the state level. I wish there was a better avenue or a better platform to publicize it. I think it's so full and rich of information, even just to say the health of any community. We can get to the granular level even in rural areas now by zip code and, you know, in a larger population. And how important is that for changing things and identifying concerns within a community? So, I value the community needs assessment. I'm thrilled that I work with our partners. We work tandemly with the state. They have provided us good guidance, and the prevention agenda goals seem to align with our data. So we've been in sync with that. And I think my fellow colleagues have done tremendous things with goals and objectives and moving the dial.
Thanks, guys. I will be back in touch with you both. Thank you very much for your time.
You bet. Thank you.